Join the chorus. It's time for another North Melbourne Footy Club update with Dean Vasek and special guests on Hashtag Kangaroos.
Welcome to another episode. My name is Dean Vasek. You can find me on Twitter at Hashtag Kangas or on Instagram at Hashtag Kangaroos Podcast. So today I was joined by AFLW player Sarah Wright. Now, she's my first current day player. I've had past players on, Winston Abraham, Lee Harding, Troy Makepeace. So to get a current day player and get their perspective on the game and getting to know Sarah Wright as well. It was a very good interview. I really enjoyed it, getting to know Sarah. You only know these people by watching them play, but she's a very hardworking young woman who really enjoys playing AFLW. So I won't hold you up anymore. I'll bring on Sarah right now. So I'm joined by a very special guest, a current day player, AFLW player, Sarah Wright. Now, Sarah, thanks very much for coming to the show. Like I was telling you off air, you're the first current player I've had on the podcast, so I really appreciate it. But I want to get to know you as a person, Sarah. So where did you grow up and play your junior football?
So I actually didn't play junior football. I grew up in Melbourne, just out in Keilor, which is sort of near Melbourne Airport. And I played basketball pretty much up until I was about 20, 21. Actually, maybe a bit longer than that, now that I think back. And then I think it got to a stage where I'd played since I was 7 and just needed a change. So I was enough to know the coach of our local club, and she said, just come down for a run. And then from there, I sort of never looked back. Played 3 seasons there, and then played a season at VFL, and then was lucky enough to get drafted.
Yeah, I mean, you're fairly early draft pick. I think you were 2nd round, weren't you? Pick 32? Am I reading that correct?
Yeah, 32, yep.
So, and that's a 2020 draft. So what drew you to football, I guess, is my next question. Like, I mean, you sort of said you wanted a change, but did you have a passion for football growing up or anything like that before you started playing?
Yeah, so my family's mad into footy. My dad, my nan, or my dad's side, Barrack for North growing up. So I've always had, we always went to games, and I've always had that in the back of my mind that I wanted to play footy. But I suppose growing up, we didn't really have the opportunity. There was always Auskick and stuff like that. But I went along the basketball path because that's just what was in our area. And I suppose just once the AFLW got going, it's pretty cool. It was pretty cool to see that girls could play footy at any age and at that level. So it did take a few years for me to eventually put my name in the draft. But, yeah, I suppose I was always drawn to it. And then I think I went to my first AFLW game. It was a Carlton game at Icon Park, and I fell in love with it. And just from there was like, you know, I'm going to do everything I can to get on a list and hopefully be playing at Icon Park one day, which I've done, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, well, you only played there recently, but we won't get to that game just yet. We don't want to bring back bad memories or anything like that. So who are your some of the idols or, like, I guess growing up or even in the recent years, watching AFL men's or AFL women's?
So like I said, I both for North growing up, and I am probably a little bit older. So when we were watching, it was Anthony Stevens and Glenn Archer. And I suppose more Glenn Archer is the game I try and base my game off, off half back, sort of the intercept, playing on bigger players and just putting my body on the line. And then I suppose if we're going current day, it would probably be Erin Phillips. I think what she's been able to do for AFLW on the back of such a awesome basketball career is just like really special. Something about her just like she's very professional, and I guess I was always drawn to that. So yeah, she's probably one of my idols.
Yeah, no, that's fair enough. That's a pretty good idol. I mean, especially longevity she's shown in her career. I mean, in her late 30s now, and had a stellar career at Adelaide Crows, and trying to make a name for herself at Port Adelaide, where her father played. So it's a pretty good role model. And Glenn Archer's obviously a good one, well known to North Melbourne fans as a shin boner of the century. So, I mean, in saying that, it's like, have you always been like
I'll go forward a bit. Have you always been had an eye on being a defender, or did you want to ever push up to a midfield role or anything like that?
I actually started my career, I'd say, in the midfield. When we played local footy, I've got a twin sister, and we kind of did whatever we wanted. We just ran up and down the ground. If we wanted to defend, we would defend. If we wanted to play forward, we would play forward. And our coach was pretty good with that. She'd just let us do what we wanted. I actually started at Carlton VFL as a forward. And then when I got across to North, I was a forward wing. And then after a couple of seasons, I said to Scotty Gowans at the time that it's probably not the best suited position for me. I struggled a little bit on the wing just with the running patterns and stuff like that. So I asked him if I could just have a go at being a defender, and I guess I haven't really looked back from there.
Yeah, no, fair enough. Now, I don't know the answer to this question, and I hope you don't get offended, but have you kicked an AFLW career goal?
Yes, I have actually. It was the year we got the AFLW was cancelled due to COVID. It was the final against Collingwood at Icon Park.
Who kicked a goal that game? I can't remember.
Yeah, I was a defender, but I marked it, I think, just outside 50, and I got I was lucky enough, one of the Collingwood girls, I think she ran over the mark, and I got a 50-metre penalty and kicked a goal. So.
Yeah, that's right. Now it's all coming back to me. Yeah,
yeah. I was pretty lucky with that. I didn't want to kick it because, not a fan of kicking goals, but I had to, so.
Well, there's something I've never heard a player say, is that they're not a fan of kicking goals. So you'd rather stop them.
No, I think we were down by 13. I know we were down, and it was a pretty important time of the game. So if I'd missed, I don't know, would have got a spray probably from a few players. So I'm lucky enough it went through.
No, that's all right. You take it. So, all good. So we'll go forward. Now, how did you end up at North Melbourne? Did they talk to you before the draft process? Did any other clubs talk to you? Obviously, you're rated. I mean, you've gone fairly early in the draft, pick 30-odd in the second round. So, yeah, just tell us about that whole process leading up to getting drafted by North Melbourne.
Yeah, so the year before I got drafted, I actually had my name in the draft. I did a few of those like rookie camps with the Western Bulldogs and with Melbourne. And I was lucky enough to get through to the final 10 players or so. So I guess my name was sort of on the radar, but unfortunately I didn't get picked up in that draft. And then the year after I played my season with Carlton VFL, and as I said, I played forward, and I think we won one game that year and we didn't kick many goals. So I wasn't planning to put my name in the draft, but I got a call from Reece, the North Melbourne list manager, and he was pretty keen to get me down to the club and just have a chat with Scotty, which I was lucky enough to do. I think what got me over the line was the game we played against Melbourne Uni. Our coach at VFL at the time actually let me play in the back line, which is quite nice. So I played all right. So, I think from there, I built on my game a little bit, and North picked me up, which was pretty lucky.
No, we take it, I suppose. I mean, I guess you're on the mature side of getting drafted as well. You would have been 26. Am I reading that correct? When you got,
I was 24 at the time.
Oh geez, yeah, I thought he meant to offend you there. So.
No, that's all right. Nah.
Yeah, 24. So yes, I guess that's fairly young. But I mean, if you look at it in AFL men's terms, it's a fairly mature age. But
No, I think our year there was three of six were mature age. So I was two of my best mates at the club, Ali Gavalis and Tiny Nesta. We were drafted together, so we were all mature age, which was quite nice.
Yeah, that leads into my next question. Who are some of the players took you under their wing when you did get drafted? Do they look after you, and do they still take you under their wing a little bit?
Yeah, so I've got a few of them. I think the main one the main two were probably Emma King and Ash Riddell. Emma King, just I think she's like that with everyone. Just really friendly and gives advice and isn't afraid to tell you when you're doing something wrong, which is nice. And then Ash Riddell, we're actually not related properly, but our cousins are married, so we knew each other previous to that. So she's always been one of my best mates at the club, and offers advice, and is always on my back about running and stuff like that, which is nice to have, I guess.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. Who are, so, like you talked about, Ellie Gavalis, a good friend. Some other, well, good mates of the club, I guess you could say. Who are they?
Yeah, I've got it. I would have my favourite player probably is Jazz Ferguson. I think not only on the field but off the field, she's just an awesome person. She wouldn't, without her in the back line, we wouldn't be able to do the things that we do. I wouldn't be able to come off my player and intercept, or and knowing she's behind me just gives me confidence. And I think that's why we've become so close this year. We help each other out on, we always get the tall matchup, which, oh, and the biggest matchup, which is nice. And I know that she's got my back, so that's pretty special. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it seems like you girls, in particular, the back five in AFL Women's, have got a good understanding of each other. Yeah, you and Jazz are very, you know, are very good at complementing each other, as well as Bresnahan. Yeah, Emma Carney's very good, been very good back there for the last couple of years. Yeah, it seems like you pretty much all have a special bond to play to, as well as you guys do, girls do, all together.
Yeah, I'd say probably over the last 12 months, having two seasons in back to back, we spent a lot of time together, and we sort of know now, and we've been together for a few years, everyone other than Erica obviously, but so we sort of know how each other play, and we trust each other, which I think is really important. Everyone's got each other's back, and there are times where you're going to get a spray, but the good thing about the back line is you just cop it on the chin and we move past it, which is nice to have in a line. You don't want anyone getting sulky or anything like that, but that's just not us, and I think that's why we were so successful this year.
I mean, who have been the biggest influences for you, like, I mean, we can talk about coaches or players, like who have been, made you the player that you are today?
Yeah, so this is a hard one. I know Emma Carney hasn't been in the back line for that many seasons, but I guess I've learned a lot of her running patterns, and the way she comes back with the flight of the ball, and just the way she reads the ball. I guess that mixed with training, she's a big competitor. She's hard at it and she wants to win. So I guess that's really driven my game a little bit, because she being in the back line, she's always pushing us. So I'd say, yeah, Carnes. And then as well as Flashy, Nicole Bresnahan and Ferg as well. So, yeah.
Yeah, no, it seems like you've got an instruction, and this is, and correct me if I'm wrong, that yeah, it looks like you really want to be the spare in defence a lot, because I notice you do drop back a lot, very quickly. If the ball comes up to the wing, you seem to sprint back, trying to, become that spare. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, I guess I've had a little bit of a licence to do that this year, play the spare at the back. If Fergie's got the big matchup like a Taylor Harris or a, I don't know, Celine Moody from the Bulldogs, I've been able to drop off and just be that last player, just to make sure that the ball doesn't get kicked over our heads and out the back, which I think when you play your Melbournes and your Brisbanes, they're quite quick to get the ball down. So, yeah, I had a bit of a license to do that this year. I think as well, playing on some better forwards, I'm trying to cut that immediate run back out of my game a little bit, but I guess that is an instruction from our line coach and Croc, just to make sure that we've got that spare at the back in case it does get over our heads.
No, fair enough. We might as well talk about Darren Crocker. How much of an influence has he had on you over the last couple of seasons?
Yeah, I loved my first and second season under Scotty, and I was disappointed that he was leaving, but I must say, Croc, I love him. Very good for my game. The confidence he has in me. He's another one he's just very sharp. He'll tell you how it is, which I love. Like, I grew up with basketball coaches that were like that. And I feel like sometimes you need a bit of tough love. And just, I think the first season we had with him, he was a bit standoffish and he was getting to know like how to coach girls versus how to coach men. But I think we've all grown together, and I think the list that we've got now, we all understand each other and we're all on the same page and we all want to win. And I think Croc's been a real big driver of that. He's very quirky. Sometimes he says some weird stuff, but yeah, we love him. And I'm very fortunate to play under him.
Yeah, I remember him saying on a Daisy Bateman podcast, this was going back a couple of years ago now, that he sort of said, yeah, it's very different coaching men to women, because with, you know, you really have to build those strong relationships with the women. Have you found that with him over the course of the last couple of seasons?
Yeah, I think more so this, like, we've spent a lot of time together these last 12 months, the whole group has. And I think we've really tried to build that family culture. So whenever we can, we get the families in and we all get together. So I suppose that has helped a little bit. And there's a lot of off-field time that we're together, whether it be at the club or away from that. So yeah, we all have had a chance to get to know him, and he's the sort of guy, he just loves a chat, so he'll talk to you about anything, which is quite nice.
Definitely. Yeah, he seems like that kind of guy. I thought he was a very good AFL men's coach as well. Like, I know he only coached a handful of games as an interim, but he seemed pretty switched on with the tactical side, and I see that with the women's as well. He's very good, switched on with the tactical side of the game. Not just with relationships. Very underrated coach. Now, you've been in at North Melbourne since 2020. How have you seen North Melbourne over its course of the AFLW? Now, our thoughts were a bit stiff in 2020 when the whole COVID thing happened, when we cancelled the season, because I thought, well, we're a big chance to win a premiership. Last year, we got pummeled out by Fremantle on the first final, and this year, we were not too far away from getting into the grand final. Do you think? I think it's been quite successful how we've done on the field. I mean, the only thing left is getting into the grand final, really, when you put it up in those terms. But personally, how have you seen it?
Yeah. So, admittedly, I wasn't a North fan the first season that they were in that Carlton fan, because I played with Carlton VFL.
Yeah, that's right.
The second, I obviously got drafted. I feel like we've come a long way. We've changed a lot in terms of like culture, players. We were pretty unlucky in my first year. I think we had a really good list then, and we were probably what I thought was the flag. And then we didn't lose it for a couple of years. We were competitive, but I think we struggled to finish against those top teams. But then if you look at the last, we've proved that we can match the top teams. And yes, we lost to Melbourne in the last quarter, but you can't say that we're not there. So I guess the program's been really successful. Not only in that, like, we've had Emma Carney, 7 All-Australians. We've had Jazz Garner, Ash Riddell. So even though we haven't got the ultimate grand final, I think there's still a lot of positives in our program. And I think in the next 2 years, we'll be right up there and hopefully holding that cup up.
Yeah, I mean, I'm more optimistic going into next season than I probably was last season. And I'll give you the reasons. The player losses that we had, like Gilroy, Bateman, Bannister, I felt like we lost a lot, and we replaced them with first year, second year players and Irish girls that we didn't know much about. They were only in the country for a handful of weeks before they started playing AFLW. But they were sensational, weren't they? Especially the two Irish girls.
Yeah, I think off the back of last season, we thought, well, we're there, but we're not quite there yet. So we just needed to make a change. And unfortunately, it did come with the loss of Gilroy and Daz and Daisy. But it all comes back to culture and the way we saw the group and what direction we wanted to go in. And I think, we did replace those players with younger players, but we've had like Taylor Gatz played every game. We've had Chuck come in and kick two massive goals against Collingwood. So they are young, but that's the way we want to go. We want to build it, and we've been successful with those players. So It was hard saying goodbye, especially to Gilroy, being in the back line, and she's obviously had a successful year at Hawthorne, and I'd love to have her back. But yeah, I think we're heading. I'm positive that and for next season especially that we're going to be right up there again.
Yeah, 100%. Now we might as well talk about the Melbourne game. Now, three-quarter time, we had 18 inside 50s to 2 in the third quarter. I only kicked two behinds. I'm curious to know what the message was from Darren Crocker. I'm not having a go at him or anything like that, because I just felt like, and I remember texting this to a friend that was watching, Claire Cozzi, who's quite a regular on the show, sort of saying, I think we've blown our opportunity here, because I think Melbourne will come back this last quarter, which is what effectively happened. I'm just curious to know, do you remember the message that Darren Crocker sent at three-quarter time?
Yeah, I guess we were unlucky with our inside 50s in that third quarter. I think the repeat entry, Melbourne had pretty much their whole team in the D50, so that was hard to kind of get a goal. And there wasn't, I think there was a couple of points kicked in that quarter. I can't really remember, to be honest. But his message was just, we know that they're going to come out hard. So we've just got to continue to play the way we're playing and don't fold back. Unfortunately, they got that quick goal from Kate Hoare. And it sort of put us on the back foot, because 8 points in the AFLW game, 8 or 9 points is hard to make up in such a short, because our quarters are so short. Yeah. And it sort of, I think, I wouldn't say we gave up or anything like that, but the heads were dropping, and you could tell we were pretty tired. We knew they were going to come out hard. They're such a smart team. They've got good players, really, really good forwards. It is what it is. But, yeah, his message was just pretty much like, we've got to keep going. You know, they're going to come out hard. And that's exactly what they did. They play smart footy, and unfortunately we weren't ready for it.
No, that's exactly right. And that happens in AFL football, in any sort of AFL football. And like you said, I think the first goal was going to be crucial, and Kate Hoare just got one. But that was shocking conditions that day with the wind, weren't they? Tough for everyone.
Yeah, we couldn't really – that was another thing. Like, you couldn't really tell what way the wind was going. I know in the third quarter we – I can't remember who had the win. I think they had the win, but then Brookie Brown kicked a kick that went about 60 metres because of the wind. So I don't really know what way the wind was going. They weren't great at conditions. It was nice. It was a nice hot day, but yeah, the wind really messed us up. So that's all right though.
Yeah, I mean, I remember one, the ball's coming to you on the wing, and it was high in the air, and it was just blowing all over the place. I was just watching on the sidelines, and I was thinking, I wouldn't want to be under that. It was very, very blustery. Not easy for forwards, not easy for defenders either. You didn't know whether they're playing front or behind. And
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yes, but that's just the way it goes. Can we talk about the Richmond game? I want to talk about. Were there any messages about the game being played at Punt Road? Did you use that as a bit of a motivational speech before game or anything like that?
I guess for us, it was disappointing that we were going to play there, knowing that we had so many fans that missed out on tickets and family. Mm-hmm. But then we've got a great track record at Punt Road. I don't know if we've lost a game there.
No, so
I think once we knew sort of it wasn't going to get changed very early in the week, we kind of put it behind us and said, like, it is what it is, we can't change it. So kind of put that in the back of our mind and just focus on what we needed to do differently versus the time previously that we played them. I must say though, Croc in his pre and after game speech had a little cheeky dig at them, which was nice. And I think Jazz Garner in her after match interview again said that we love playing at Punt Road. So a win's a win. Unfortunately, it came back to bite them in the butt a little bit, but we'll take it.
No, not really. No, it didn't bite us in the butt. It was strange. I was after that performance against Richmond, I was hoping the prelim would be at Punt Road the way we play there. So, it was a very good performance. Was that the best performance of the season, you think, against Richmond, especially at second quarter?
Yeah, I'd say it was probably our first full, not first, but one of our full four-quarter efforts. I think the other game I'd say was pretty good was the Melbourne game in round two or three, I think it was. I think from where we started, we had little patches in each game where we kind of fell asleep, and that's why we lost those games. But I can't remember that happening at all against Richmond. I think coming even with them the week before was really driving us. We know that we're a better team than them. And I think we just wanted to prove that. And I guess I'm coming back to the punt road thing, but that was also extra motivation in the back of our minds. It was just nice to play fourth quarters and get multiple goal kickers and have fun. We all had fun out there. We were all smiling. So you play your best footy when you're having fun. So that was nice too.
Yeah, I mean, you're always having fun when you're beating teams, and you're, I mean, it's easy to enjoy football when you're winning quite comfortably against the teams, especially that in a final, but a team that were adamant they wanted to play the game at a ground that didn't hold a big enough capacity, because I try to get tickets. And they'll sold out within 10 minutes or something like that. But, that's the way it goes. I was happy to watch on TV anyway. So we'll get back to you. What's your long-term future hold? How long do you want to play for? This leads into, are you under contract? Any other clubs talking to you or anything like that?
Yeah, so I'm hoping for another couple of years. I am getting to that age where I am a bit older, but then I look at Carnes and Abba and those girls that are still coming first in all our fitness testing and stuff, and I think that's a bit of motivation for me to keep going. It is getting a lot with work. I work full time with two jobs, so it is getting a lot. But then I'm really enjoying my year at North. This has probably been my favorite season, and I think where I'm at now is I'm playing my best footy. There's obviously a few things that I need to tidy up on, but I'm really building my game into where I want it to be. So I'm hoping another couple of years, I'd love three, but we'll see how the body holds up.
Yeah. I mean, is it just, physically and mentally a bit too hard for you? You just said two jobs. You're still fairly young. I mean, 28, you're probably this day and age with sports science, most players still play good football in their 30s. Is it just too much for you think? That's why you'd probably want to cut it a bit short?
Oh, no. I think it's hard. It's the motivation thing for me, I think. Yeah. I mean, the season before this last one, I think the motivation died off a little bit. It was all right once I was at training, but getting there after getting up so early for work, because I start work at 4 a.m. and then I'm not home from training till 10:30, 11, which for me, it was a bit of a killer. But this season, it's kind of been something like a switch. I think the culture and what we've been building is pretty special, and I'm really enjoying that footy. So it just meant for me changing a few things work-wise. And I think having a longer break this year will really help me as well, stay motivated. I hope a couple more years. It sometimes can be mentally and physically exhausting, but we've got such a special group at the moment. Like I would hate to miss out on holding that cup up. So hopefully they'll keep me around for a little bit longer.
No, that'll be good. Yeah, no, hopefully we can keep you going. What happens, let's say 2024, you get, we don't know what negotiations are going to be with the AFL by then. You get a big pay rise. Would you consider becoming a full-time professional AFLW footballer if it got to that stage by 2024, 2025?
Yeah, I think definitely I'd be at a stage where I could be. I hope the AFL get their act together and we get to that. But yeah, if it came to that early, definitely I'd say yes. Even though I probably only have a year or two, I'm lucky enough I own my own business, so I can kind of put that on the back burner for 6 months or hopefully it's full time then, so 12 months, and then go back to it. But definitely, I'd definitely consider it. Yep.
Well, I'll have to put in a word to Nicole Livingston for you, so to
Yeah,
try and
get
get
it going.
it up a bit, because they are talking 2025, 2026. I don't know if it's going to be too late for you. I'm not too sure, but yeah, we'll see what happens. I guess just get through next season and see how you go. So, what are some of your hobbies outside of football? What are some of the things you like to do?
At the moment, I don't really. During the season, I don't really have enough time to do much else. I've got two Labradors at home, which I like to get them out, whether it's to the dog beach or we go camping a fair bit. I don't really have much time during the season, but then after the season, I guess camping. I've got a dirt bike, so take that out a fair bit, which is nice. I guess that's really it. I haven't really had time in the last 4 years. This is my first summer that I get back, so we'll see. I might take up a new hobby.
Maybe get back to basketball or something like that. So
yeah, play. That'd be nice. Yeah.
yeah, shoot a few threes and yeah. So there you go. So I wanted to ask you this. Now, obviously, a lot of supporters. There's been an uproar about it. How much was Jasmine Garner screwed in the AFLW Best and Fairest Award?
Oh yeah, don't get me started on that one.
Well, I thought I would.
It's very it's disappointing. The season that she had, I think the first game she had 30 disposals and 2 goals or something like that, and didn't poll a vote. We knew that like the likes of Jenna Bruton, Carnes, Ash Riddell were going to take votes from her, but probably not to that extent. And then not polling until round 6 or 5, that's kind of. You just go, what on earth happened there? And then she gets an All-Australian gig and a captain of that team. And then, you just wonder if the right people are doing the votes every game. I don't know. I'm not sure.
But what's your opinion on that? Obviously, there's been a bit of an uproar in the men's about umpires doing the voting. What do you think? Should umpires not do it? I mean, they're obviously occupied trying to interpret the game, and they probably don't concentrate on every little player and what they're doing. Do you think it should be someone else that does it?
Yes and no. I suppose watching the men's games, I feel like every year it's pretty spot on with who the best player in the league is. But then you look at our women's games, and it hasn't been every year, but there's been a couple of years where you just go, oh, was that really the right decision? And I'm not taking anything away from Ali Anderson or anything like that. But you just kind of wonder, like, you've got a professional panel picking an All-Australian team and then she's not in it versus some umpires who, you're right, have another job to do on that day. And are they really looking at the best player or what are they looking at? So I guess, it could be reviewed a little bit, but I don't know how that process is going to go and whether or not they want to keep on the same page as the men or whatever. So I guess, Jammin's pretty humble, so she's not too upset about it. But still, I think it's the second time that she's been robbed of it. But, yeah.
Yeah,
she'll get better. She'll get one eventually.
Oh, well, we hope so. I mean, it was unbelievable watching, to be honest. With the first 4 rounds where she didn't get a vote, where I felt like she was best on ground in all the games. So, yeah, I mean, like I said, that's another discussion, whether umpires should do those votes or not. I hope you don't take this personally. Have you ever had an AFLW Best and Fairest vote?
I actually don't know. I think
one. Okay.
One, maybe, potentially. I don't know, actually.
Potentially. Yeah, you don't know which game it was, obviously?
I'm not. If I was Jammin, I'd probably take a little bit more notice of it. But I like to be quite achiever. Don't really take notice of that kind of stuff.
No, there's nothing wrong with being a team player. Like just doing your role for the team. And you do it pretty well. So I mean, at the end of the day, it's a midfielder's award. So and you don't play midfield. So not too much about not to worry about that sort of thing. Well, you might as well go to. Obviously, tomorrow night's a big night for you lovely ladies. Best and fairest tomorrow night. Give us your top three. I have a feeling I know who you're going to say is first, but go ahead.
Oh, yeah, Jazzy Garner by a mile. Yeah. My top three, I haven't really thought about it. I think Jenna Bruton will come very close. I know I said Jammin by a country mile, but I think Jenna's had a really underrated season. She's one of those players that just goes unnoticed, and I think She's a bit of a quiet achiever, but she's probably very close to jamming. And then third is a tough one. I'd like it to be someone different. Carney had a great season. Ash Riddell had a great season. But then I'm pretty biased here. I think Flash, Nicole Bresnahan, had a great season off half back. She's building every game. And I think she's really starting to fit that role perfectly. And then I guess there's Brooke Brown. Talia Randall had a great season. There's a few. But I'd like to be a dark horse, someone different.
Yeah, well, I spoke to Claire Cozzi a couple of weeks ago on a podcast, and I said Nicole Bresnahan for third as well. I had the same top two as you, and I had Nicole number three. Now, I think they had on the Twitter page, they had seven faces on there, and you're one of them, so you might be a chance as well.
Yeah, no, I think the media team have stitched me up a bit there. I don't know. I thought I had a pretty good season. Probably my best. Just my confidence is growing every week. Hoping for maybe top 10, but we'll see.
Oh, I think you'll definitely be top 10. There's no doubt about that. No, I thought, you had a great season from a personal perspective. I'm not just saying that because you're on a podcast, but I've got other people that agree with that. And you're very solid and consistent in the back line. Not just you, but the whole back line really worked well together. So, I think you'll be right up there. I think that's all I got for you. Sarah, did you want to add anything else? Maybe sell future North Melbourne people on memberships and try and get them down?
No, just I think we've got a great fan base. And just, I guess, we missed on a few games this year at Arden Street, so... Next season, we'll be keen to get everyone in, show them the new building, and just stay with us, I guess. I know it's been frustrating with the losses that we've had, but we are building something really special. So, yeah, stick with us, and hopefully next season we're holding up that cup.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, before I finish, I just thought of this on the top of my head. How are the men interacting with you girls a little bit, giving you any tips on, like, anything at all, like during games, or is it just... Yeah, the women by themselves and the men by themselves.
No, I think more and more now that COVID's sort of, we had a lot of restrictions with COVID. Yeah. We weren't allowed to cross paths at all, like none of our staff. So now we're sort of in and out of the building and we see them and stuff like that. And I've noticed a couple of them at our games and a few messages back and forth between players. So that's nice. So I guess that'll keep going now that we've got our off season and we're all in the club and, like, we crossed over with them today, just doing a few little extras. So I guess that'll continue to build, which is nice to finally have that connection. Yeah, I think it was really hard during COVID. Like, we were definitely, like, they had to be out by a certain time. Everything had to be clean and then we were allowed to be back in. So there's none of that anymore. So we'll definitely, hopefully build better relationships.
Yeah, no, that'll be good. Because it's obviously, it's a very big club. I noticed a few of you girls went to the North versus Richmond game. That was AFL Men's. That was, round 18 or something, whenever it was when we won. So, yeah, and it was good to see a photo of you girls with the boys as well. That really warmed my heart. So hopefully, like you said, the restrictions are all done. COVID's behind us. And, yeah, we can certainly get that interaction between the men's and the women's a lot more. Anyway, Sarah, that's all I've got. I really appreciate you coming on the show. It sounds like you're a very busy lady with two jobs. I really appreciate that you took the time, and I think I've taken enough time of you so far tonight. All the best. Put the feet up, have a great night tomorrow night, and maybe I might chat to you next season, seeing how that goes.
Yeah, sounds good. No worries. No, thanks very much for having me on. It's I'm a listener of your podcast every week with Claire, so it's nice to get to know you and for people to get to know me as well. It's sometimes you have a different opinion of someone and then you get to speak to them. So hopefully, people stay on board with us.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you listen every week. I hope I haven't been too unkind with some of the comments about you or anything like that.
All warranted. It comes with the job, I think. social media, podcasts, you're going to get criticism, but there's also been a lot of praises as well, so which is nice to hear.
No, sounds good. No, I really, like I said, I really appreciate you coming on the show, Sarah, and I'm glad you're a listener as well, and you enjoy the rest of your evening.
No worries. Thanks very much. You too.
Yeah, really, really appreciate Sarah for coming on the show. Yeah, it was good to get a modern-day perspective on a game from a current player. And it was good to chat about things like the Richmond game as well as the Melbourne game where we lost the prelim final. And, yeah, look, she's still got a passion to play AFLW, which is really good to see for at least the next couple of years. She's a very hard-working woman, so it was good to get to know her personally as well, and some of the hobbies she gets up to when she does get a few spare minutes as well. That was a great interview. Hopefully, that won't be the only one. Hopefully, I can get more current-day players in the future. But, we'll see how we go. Once again, thanks to all you lovely listeners for all the likes, retweets, comments you guys and girls do for this show. My last episode went through the roof. I probably should do a Brady Rawlings appreciation podcast, to be honest with you. And look, it was a healthy chat. It wasn't criticism or anything like that by all you lovely listeners. It was more just probably saying that we're a bit harsh on Brady Rawlings, me in particular, probably saying that he's a bit soft with his approach in trades. But look, the most important thing is we got a chat out there. You know, my opinion's not always right. And I'm glad a lot of you listeners, backed up Brady Rawlings as well. That's really good. And it was done in a civil way, which is all we can ask for. And, we get a discussion and we get talk happening. And that's why, it was the most downloaded episode I've ever had, the last one, with a lot of, and most plays I've had as well. So, yeah, I really appreciate you, all you lovely listeners for doing that. The show goes out to a lot more people, and that's all I can ask from all you lovely, lovely listeners. So that's it for this episode. I don't know if I'll do another one this week. I've still got to do the men's player reviews. I've still got 7 players. I might do that as well as a news catch-up. I mean, we've had the round one fixture come out in the AFL men's. There's probably a couple other bits of news which I can't think of at the top of my head. So that's it. So once again, thank you for listening, and I'll be back, not too sure, this week or next week. That's it. So today I will leave a shout-out to Jenna Brutton. Bye for now.